Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The gospel of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world is 2,000 years old. Is it still relevant? We'll talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that gospel, which enriches our lives and brings added comfort and promise to us in the twilight years of life. Continue to make the old story ever new as your Holy Spirit speaks to us through this gospel, giving us new insights in our relationship with you. May that also be true in our worship service here at Christian Crusaders today, for we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. John. The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit is the Christ. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
More of Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me, more about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.
Friends in Christ, with the explosion of so much knowledge in most fields of labor, continuation of education is a necessity in our day. New solutions for old problems are being discovered, and new ways of making old answers better understood are now available. For example, physicians go to seminars to acquaint themselves with the latest knowledge in treating their patients. Great advancements are being made in conquering these diseases that once took our lives, but there is still much to be learned by the physician. For example, a physician goes there to learn the answers to how the problem can be solved. A physician of many years ago treated a person who had had a heart attack, and in many cases when the heart attack was serious, there was very little to do. The person, without a doubt, would die or live with an impaired heart. Now today, it's entirely different, for the researchers have been at work, and they discovered now many years ago such a thing as heart surgery, bypasses, new valves, and a heart attack person is the one who can go on and live for many years and perhaps die of some other disease. The pastor's problem is somewhat different. He too, and those who are a part of the whole Christian education program, go to learn how best to serve the people. The problem is not like that of the physician. The sin problem that separates people from God has been dealt with, and the solution has been made once and for all. The solution comes in Jesus Christ, who has suffered, died, and has been raised again. At the cross, payment was made for the sins of the world for all times. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there has been victory won for all believers over sin, death, and the devil. The pastor's problem is not to find the solution. The person who is interested in bringing this message of Jesus Christ to the world does not go to a seminar where there are all kinds of people around and say, well, we've got to update this just a little bit. We're going to take the best of this particular religion and the best of that particular religion, and we're going to put them together, and maybe this is a new solution as to how a person can be related in a very personal way to the God who has created him. No, that's not it at all. When the pastor goes to a seminar, he goes for at least a couple of reasons. The one is that he might get greater in-depth understanding of the Word of God. And what does it mean to us as we live in this particular day? And the second one is, how can I best communicate this glorious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the old, old story, but is so relevant today in my communication must not in any way hinder people from knowing who Jesus is. For example, I remember many years ago, I attended a seminar on Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer, if you do not know him, was a great theologian who was teaching at Union Seminary in New York. But it was during the days of World War II, and he was a native of Germany. It bothered him that he sat there in New York while many of his people were suffering under the Nazi regime. So Bonhoeffer went back to Germany, and there he became a part of the underground movement. And it was not long before Bonhoeffer was arrested, sent to the concentration camp, and only days before the end of the war was hanged for the cause of Jesus Christ at the concentration camp in Flossenbürg. Along the way, Bonhoeffer had come up with this great thought, which is now in a book, The Cost of Discipleship. I tell you, just attending that seminar was going back to the old gospel again and again. For as I remember what Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, it was simply the message of Jesus Christ that had to be told. But we had to add deeper insights to this, and we had to know how to communicate it just a little bit better. I learned from that seminar that it was not just to say, yes, I received Jesus Christ, and I love him, and I want to serve him, but it was to count the cost. It was to really take a look at those words of Jesus. If you'll want to be my disciples, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. The confessing faith in Jesus Christ was not just an emotional experience. It might be that, but there was depth in it, and there was a price to be paid. Not that what we paid would in any way accomplish more as far as our salvation was concerned, but the very fact that we identify ourselves with Jesus Christ in that sense of the word, that our faith is in him, meant that there would be a price to be paid. Later on, I attended a seminar by Harley Swiggum when he went around the country and promoted his new Bible study called the Bethel Series. I sat there and thought, this is a great way to once again communicate the overall message of the scriptures to the people in our congregation. That course was started in 1962. And in the year 2002, in the same congregation, the Bethel Bible Series is being taught nearly every single week. The idea is to give people an overview of the Bible that the gospel of Jesus Christ may have its right understanding, in essence, as far as the whole Word of God is concerned. Then later on, I went to a seminar that was conducted by Roberta Hestiness. She was a great person. I think she still lives today. She was a person who had good understanding of the value of small groups, where just probably a half a dozen people would get together in the home around a cup of coffee on a regular basis, in a disciplined way to some extent. And there they would share the teachings of the Word of God with some good materials to guide them. These were new ways of communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit might use it and bring those people to a living faith in Christ Jesus. So you see, the seminar was not to find the solution to our problem with sin and having been turned away from a living relationship with God because of sin. That solution had been made. The decision was that God had accepted Jesus' sacrifice for our sins at the cross. But the problem was, how do I teach this in the most effective way that the Holy Spirit can take that word and bring these people to faith in Christ? It was also necessary to get some new insights so that our Christianity was not just something on the surface, but we could consider, along with Dietrich Bonhoeffer, what it was to take up our cross and follow him. Now let's look at our text today. It's a text of John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist? He had been born around 5 BC. His mother was Elizabeth. She was a cousin of the Virgin Mary. His father was Zechariah, a priest. They had John when Zechariah was old. He was brought up in the wilderness by the Dead Sea. And you can be sure that during the days that that boy was growing up, he learned a great deal about the Messiah who was to come, and that the Lord was coming soon. So at an approximate age of 30 years, a little bit better, John the Baptist was out in the wilderness. He was preaching. He was telling them that the Messiah would soon be here. He was telling them to repent of their sins. He was telling them that religion was not just enough of the formalistic way that they had, but religion meant a relationship with God, and soon the Messiah would be there. He preached and preached, and he baptized the people, and then one day, during the course of the baptism, here appeared Jesus to be baptized by John. It was at that particular time that the Spirit of God descended like a dove, and there was a word from heaven that said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." John writes in our text today, and listen to this, friend. "Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God.'" What does this tell you? It tells you that years before John spoke these words, God-fearing parents had told their son about Jesus and his mission in preparing the way to point people to Christ. It tells us that sometimes God works over a period of years, and then we meet the Savior. It tells us that only the Holy Spirit can reveal Christ to us, and he does this primarily through the Word. So here's John the Baptist. He is preaching repentance. He has a great deal of knowledge about this Messiah who is to come. He's not quite sure who he is. He's beginning to get an idea. But then comes that day when he has his spiritual awakening. The voice said, "This is my beloved Son." The dove descended, and the heart and the mind and the eyes and the ears of John the Baptist was open. "I stand in the presence of Jesus Christ." And empowered by the Holy Spirit, who alone could bring me to understand who Christ was, I received him as my Savior and my Lord. You know what that is, friend? That's a spiritual awakening. For some, it can be a conversion. For some of you who might listen to me today, you have a great deal of knowledge about Jesus Christ. You've gone to Sunday school and church. You've been raised in a good home. You can tell the old, old story. But you yet have to have that time of awakening. It's not that you're a bad person. Probably are a very faithful member of the congregation. But you need, like John, to have your eyes opened and to understand truly, this is the Christ. Truly, he is the one who can save me from my sin. Maybe others of you might be riding in a car today. You had the radio on and here this message is coming. Yeah, there was a time. There was a time in my life when I went to Sunday school, when I sang in a choir, but I walked away from it. I got busy in the business world. I had all kinds of intriguing things to do. I could play. I could have fun. I could have all of the toys of life. But there was something that was lacking in my heart. And then it was that you looked into the face of Jesus Christ, whom you had learned about when you were a kid. And you said, "This is he." What is that? It's the old, old story of Jesus and his love. But it's this old, old story that has become new for you. That's the story that we have before us today. And that old story is ever giving to us new insights into who we are. It's telling us that we are sinful people in need of the grace of God. It tells us that our emotion is not enough as far as our Christianity is concerned. We must grow up in the Word of God. We must have new insights. It tells us that there are new ways of presenting the old gospel. Some of us still like the traditional way of worshiping on a Sunday. The old hymns, many of which we sing in this program from week to week, the traditional setting, and then the Word of God. We're finding today that some people need a contemporary setting. The songs are a bit different. They call them praise songs. That's fine. The setting does not matter, really, does it? What really matters is to hear the old story. That never can be changed. There are some of us who enjoy going to a Bible class with 35 or 40, 45 people in it and hearing somebody who is well acquainted with the scriptures expound some of these great truths. But for some, they would rather meet in a home and just a half a dozen people be able to communicate together what this gospel is really all about. Doesn't matter which setting. It just means that we need to hear the old story. So physicians come to find the solutions. Not every problem has been solved. But pastors and Christians come to their seminars. The solution has already been made. Christ Jesus died and was raised again. That's the answer. We come to get new insights, and we come to find new ways of telling the old story. Amen.
Oh.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for that old, old story. We thank you that even though it is 2,000 years old, it still is new. Oh God, we know that it is more than 2,000 years old. It was a message that you brought when men fell into sin at the very beginning. It's a message that has become focused in Jesus Christ, for he is the Son of God. Father, we pray that that old, old story may find its way into our hearts. Regardless of what the setting is, Lord, we pray that the message may never falter. We pray that it may never be denied. And we pray that it may bring peace, joy, and comfort to our hearts. For it is the old, old story of Jesus and his love. It is sufficient. Thank you for giving it to us, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that Pastor Larson's gospel message will enrich your life today and throughout the coming week. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported entirely by our faithful listening family. We thank each of you for your financial gifts that enable us to buy radio time on 32 stations throughout the United States. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Pastor Larson writes the feature article for each issue. To receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. And call weekdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. You may leave a message on voicemail at any time. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Once more, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church of Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.